Years ago, I reminded some Methodists at a retreat in San Diego what C.S. Lewis once said about the impossible. Lewis said that there are some things that even God would not choose to do, like turning a speeding train into a feather to prevent harming a child on the tracks. Then I rather glibly added that God does not make square circles. Now, the next morning at the retreat, someone brought me a computer-generated square that had been repeated 76 times so that it appeared to become a circle. A note was attached. Yes, God can make circles out of squares. Lesson learned. Never call something impossible for God that even a computer can do. And I'm not sure I've ever used that phrase since until this morning. What is impossible for God to do? Or to state it positively, what is it possible for God? Maybe it depends on the meaning of your terms. The English word possible comes from the Latin word posse, which simply means to be able. To say that this is possible means that something can be done or something can be existing. Now, some are too quick to call something impossible. Perhaps you remember that many politicians seriously suggested that the U.S. Patent Office should close its doors in the late 1890s. Why? Because they thought it impossible to invent any new useful invention. Now, I'm reminded of that old political bromide. The more pessimistic you sound, the wiser you seem to be. But in our world, there is always a little train that could. And its engines are being revved up to take on that seemingly impossible hill. I can hear its engines now and the conductor calling out, "All aboard!" And seemingly every time humans face a difficult task, remember COVID-19? Amazing scientists do something impossible, seemingly, and we have a vaccine. That little train that could, doing precisely the impossible. Now, what is impossible and what is possible? Now, nothing excites my religious imagination more than to consider what it's possible for God to do. On the one hand, we need a God who can do far more than we can ask or imagine, a God for whom all things are possible. We need a God large enough to hold the universe in his hands, gracious enough to heal our broken hearts, and powerful enough to resurrect us from the dead. In short, we need and want a God who is almighty and sovereign and majestic. But on the other hand, we do not want a God so small that he is reduced to finding us a good parking place at the mall this time of year. None of us want to be swayed by religious charlatans or bizarre religious claims. I once had a friend who had a glass eye. He decided to pray to God so that he could see through it. You guessed it. He later claimed that he could then see through his glass eye. I vacated the room as quickly as I could. You see, we don't want a God so small that he can fit into our personal Aladdin's lamp to do our bidding, do we? I hope not. But then again, the gospel writers keep throwing those miracle stories at us. The healings, the exorcisms, the raising of the dead, walking on water, turning water into wine, feeding the multitude. My goodness, there are mysteries unfolding from the pages of the scriptures and the gospels on every single turn. Perhaps the strangest of all is this promise of, are you ready for it? A virgin birth. Virgin birth. Can I really believe that? What does all that mean? And I believe that Mary's encounter with the living God poses for us exactly this question. Do I believe that with God, nothing is impossible? Mary's struggle for a faithful response to that question is precisely our struggle. Think of her story. She is young, she is engaged to Joseph, and she is a virgin. And in her obscure village of Nazareth, Mary is utterly astonished by an awesome visitation. It is the angel Gabriel. Already we are in the midst of mystery. The God who created the heavens and the earth intervenes in Mary's tiny little world. And now we are on holy ground, where all things are charged and indeed changed. This is not ordinary time. This is Advent time, the coming of the Lord proclaimed by an angel. An angel. The ordinary crackles with the extraordinary. The announcement. It is a holy annunciation. The good news first heard on earth. And the first audience? A solitary young woman in a nowhere town. Mary is floored beyond words. A pregnancy unlike any other? A child unlike any other? A ruler, the Son of God and everlasting. This is the gospel in a nutshell. Emmanuel, God with us. So she is stunned. There is silence, and Mary stands in awe before Gabriel, trembling and breathless. Now, this annunciation poses a challenge for her faith. She hears Gabriel's summons. Mary does what all of us then would do. She asks for a clarification, for a confirmation. How can a virgin conceive a child? She knows about the birds. Is she thinking to herself, that's just impossible? And according to Biology 101, she is absolutely right. Now, Gabriel's word to Mary then is twofold. First, a great mystery is about to happen to you, Mary. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you and empower you. You will have a holy child. And secondly, Gabriel provides something of a sign to Mary. He says to her, your relative Elizabeth, known to be old and barren like Sarah in the Old Testament, are you ready for it? Is 6 months pregnant. Gabriel's proof, if you will, is fairly astonishing in and of itself. Yes, even her elderly cousin Elizabeth, clearly on Social Security, is great with child, whom they will name John. So now the heavens and the earth await Mary's response. Mary faces the greatest crisis of her faith. Her faith is stretched to the limits. To believe or to despair. To entertain the promise or walk away. To submit or to resist. Can it be that God wants something from her that she could have never imagined? To bow before the angel and say yes, or to turn away and say no. Will she carry this baby? Everything hangs in the balance. All the hosts of heaven and earth are awaiting Mary's. Now, think of the risks that Mary faced before others in her community. What would her family think? She could face public shame. Even Joseph could reject her. She faces the prospect of wearing a scarlet A on her chest the rest of her life. Would she even be seen as a heretic, claiming that an angel said something like that to her, she, a young virgin? But most of all, Mary faces a risk before God, the risk of becoming a servant, an instrument used for God's purposes, to change her plans and her goals and even her self-concept. to realize that she is no longer her own. She has been called to serve something more grand and majestic than she could have ever entertained. She is asked to give herself fully to God. This is the cost of the high and holy calling of servanthood, to offer oneself humbly for God's purposes. In this moment of supercharged freedom, Mary takes her stand. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. She decides to receive with meekness the implanted word of God. She accepts the impossible possibility that the Lord is with her and will indeed grow within her. And through her, the Lord will be revealed to Israel and indeed to the entire world. She heard and believed Gabriel's words that are astonishing. That with God, all things are possible. That she, a young woman of faith, would bear the glad tidings of a great joy to all the world. Tidings of peace on earth and glory to God. Soren Kierkegaard, that Danish theologian, once said that possibility is the heaviest category of all. It is exhilarating to imagine untold possibilities stretching out before you. But it is a heavy weight that also can be a burden. Possibility can cause you to fear and run, as Mary could have done. To confront honestly the myriad possibilities looming before us demands that you trust the living God who holds your future in his hands. Imagine what God has in store for you if you present yourself a willing servant of the Lord. And then trust that you will be sustained by God, by his presence and that light on your path. Imagine the possibilities, the possibilities. So Mary's trust focuses on this conviction that with God, all things are really possible. Could that be true for you and me? Even here, even now, amazing possibilities for your life and my life, for your family and for your friends, amazing possibilities for our congregation and for our community, for our nation, and indeed the whole world. Can the glad tidings of a great joy be for all of us? Friends, the question this morning is this. Do you trust that word of Gabriel, that with God, all things really are possible? Thanks be to God. Amen.